Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Rich Scarcell in a few moments. Before that, our play-by-play call of the day. So, the Rockies have to send a pinch hitter to the plate, and Jack Corrigan on KOA in Denver with the call.
1-1 pitch is hit to right field. It's got a chance. It's off the wall. And the Rockies are going to win it. Christian Adamas with a two-run pinch hit double.
And that's on the Colorado Rockies radio network last night. Jack Corrigan with a call on KOA as Christian Adamas hit the home run last night, a walk-off as they beat the Giants 6-5, which means the Dodgers are getting closer to the playoffs. How about that? All right. Do you realize, here's a fun fact for you, that when Penn State takes the field on Saturday at Heinz Field, it will be the first time since 1949 that Joe Paterno will not be involved in the game. In a Penn State Pitt game, it will be the first time since 1949 that Joe Paterno will not be involved in a Penn State Pitt game. Do you realize that? Joe was the assistant for Rip Engel all those years. And then, obviously, he is the head coach. Rich Scarcella joins us. Always a pleasure to get his perspective. Rich, welcome. It is great to have you back with us.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Gentlemen, you must be in a good mood. All right, so let's...
I am in a good mood. As a matter of fact, I am.
You know, Rich, I've asked, obviously people have asked all week about memories of this series. So in covering this series, what were some things that stuck out to you about covering this series as it played out?
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's see. I think I counted. I think I've covered 9 games in the series. Obviously, the ones from 97 through 2000, and then from 89 to 92, and then also the 85 game at Pitt Stadium. Okay?
Yeah, the shutout.
So there's a lot. Yeah, the 31-0 shutout. Yeah, there's a lot of things that stick out. One, from a parochial standpoint, in 1998, the Pitt starting quarterback was a kid by the name of Matt Lytle, no longer a kid anymore, who was from Wyomissing here in Berks County, and he was the starting quarterback for Pitt. And he took an absolute pounding that day from the Penn State defense and just battled and showed me a lot. That's like one of my first memories. The other one was the first Penn State Pitt game covering for the Reading Eagle was 1989, was Ray Taurasi's game-winning kick. At Pitt Stadium. That's the other one that sticks out in my mind.
Yeah, obviously great, you know, there have been a lot of great performances back and forth. I mean, Var Arrington had that big game against them.
Yep.
I want to say 99 here.
He blocked
that kick late, yeah.
Yep.
Okay, now, opening game, and I know you always have the great perspective. You always put everything in context. You know it's an opening game and a starting point. So what kind of starting point did you see on Saturday?
You want to go offense or defense or just everything?
Well, let's start with offense first, and then we'll go defense, special teams.
Okay. I think, obviously, the personnel groupings were very vanilla, obviously intentionally. You rarely saw I don't remember ever a set with – other than the one back, one tight end, three wide out set. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't remember seeing it. I do know that there wasn't a lot of different patterns run. I was impressed that Saquon Barkley ran for 100 yards against an 8-man front.
Right.
I was really, really impressed with Trace McSorley's command of the offense, composure, poise, you name it. That really impressed me for somebody making his first start. Defensively, I thought it was a really shaky start. A lot of missed tackles in the first half. But I thought the defense really adjusted well in the second half, tackled much better, and showed me that there's a lot of depth on the defensive line.
Special teams-wise, which it's been secret, it's been a tough road for Penn State in recent years. Did you see something to build upon that can make it better?
Well, I mean, Blake Gilligan, to me, was the special team story of the day and one of the storylines from the day, the way he punted the ball. I mean, I don't think there's any question that if he kicks like this, the Penn State's punting will be much improved over the last two seasons. He impressed the heck out of me again in his first game in front of 95,000 people. Did a heck of a job. And Tyler Davis just continued to do what Tyler Davis has done for the last whatever it's been, eight or nine games, and that's keep making kicks. So those two guys really impressed me. I'm looking for more. I think they could get more out of the return game. And I know this week they didn't get challenged much last week on kick returns because there's another positive. Joey Julius is six of his seven kickoffs were touchbacks. They're going to be challenged. Pitt has a pretty good return game. And so I'm interested to see how that plays out this week.
All right, now you get to this one. It's been a week where James Franklin, I think for the most part, has kept things normal. You know, same old access, same old interviews and so forth. But Pat Narduzzi's gone 180 of what he normally does. Mm-hmm. In your experience, has that meant anything?
Yes. Yeah. I just know I subscribe to the John Chaney theory that you don't get too excited before games. And if you remember when John Chaney was the basketball coach at Temple, how their players would just walk out for introductions. There weren't any histrionics or anything like that. And that's because John felt you had to be composed in order to be successful. And I completely agree with that. So we'll see. Maybe it plays out that way, and maybe it doesn't. We'll see on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, Rich, I've always felt the same way. I've always felt that if you do anything out of the norm, the players know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I just think if you do things normally and you treat it normally, then I think they treat it normally as well. And I always appreciated John Chaney's approach all the time. And you and I were around John Chaney a lot. And, John Chaney had the great ability to look around. Everybody said, it's important, but just do your deal.
Yeah, do your job. Just do your job. You know, it's funny. The thing that strikes me, too, I remember I had a philosophy class at Penn State. And this was, I didn't think the guy was a sports guy, but this was obviously in the late 70s, early 80s. I don't remember the year I had it. But it was after the 79 Sugar Bowl with Penn State and Alabama. And this was a guy who liked Joe Paterno. Okay, let me get that straight before anybody goes crazy here.
Right.
But he said, this is a good point, he says the thing that struck him about the Sugar Bowl between Penn State and Alabama is watch how Joe came out on the field with the team, like all pumped up, fiery, whatever. And then Alabama came out. And Bear Bryant walked out on the field with his rolled up program like it was just another game.
That's right.
And I think Joe probably learned something from that. My guess is that's not criticizing Joe. That's just how you treat things as you do. You prepare as hard and as well as you can. You play as hard and well as you can, and you forget everything else.
But that's one of the important things, though, about growth. You learn lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Along the way. So you get into a big game like that. I mean, Joe had coached some big games, but not to that magnitude yet in his career.
Right.
And then you
right.
look at how he approached, for example, 85, 86.
And 86, exactly. That's my point.
And how his approach to the next three national championship games he coached in were, okay, here we go. I mean, he looked at his team before the 86 game and said he canceled practice. He said, you're ready. We don't need to do it.
Yeah, it was completely different. Yeah.
And that's what happens when you go through something. Well, let's face it. You know, you've got to act. Part of it is just acting like you've been there. I thought one of the great examples, and this is not a criticism of him because you and I have tremendous respect for Dick Vermeil, but there's no doubt that when he brought the St. Louis Rams to the Super Bowl, he treated it differently than he did with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yes, completely different. It was a completely different preparation than from the Eagles in 1981 till the Rams, whatever year that was when they won. But anyway, we'll see what happens. And, you know, does that mean that, you know, you and I, our philosophy, you know, that'll be the difference Saturday? Well, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know if it will or it won't. It might. I think it just comes down to the players. I think that's who decides the game.
Oh, you get smacked in the mouth the first time. All that other stuff means nothing.
Yes.
And when you look at one thing, though, is you didn't get a chance, obviously. It would have been nice, I'm sure, for you to talk to James Conner this week about his road back. But this is really one of the great feel-good comeback stories. You know, just based on what you know about it, Rich, what has it taken for him just to actually step out on the field?
Well, we know what it takes, how hard it is to overcome a knee injury, a serious knee injury. That's one thing in and of itself. Yeah. Then to top that.
He had the MCL last year. Yep.
Right. Then to top that with Hodgkin's lymphoma, oh my.
Yeah.
To go through chemo. You know, chemo, I don't care what age. I don't care if he's 21 or 22, whatever he is. I'm not sure. Doesn't matter. He's a young man, but it doesn't matter. It takes a tremendous deal out of you. You know, I know people, obviously, like we all have, we all know people who have gone through chemo, and it's just horrific. And for him to fight back and to be on that field last Saturday and play, not just be in uniform, he played. He carried the ball 17 times. It's amazing. And he deserves any compliment that comes his way. And we would have liked to have talked to him. I mean, his story's out there, but you know, the people who cover Penn State, I know a lot of us, we were looking forward to talking to him this week and doing stories on him, but okay, that's the way, that's whatever happened, okay, fine. But it doesn't take anything away from him. What a great, great story, and that's true courage.
And inspirational for others who are going through it. I mean, that's a big part. You know, if somebody else is going through what he went through and they see him carrying a football in the game, maybe it gives someone else inspiration to fight even harder. And I think that's the incredible value of what he's gone through. What do you think it takes on Saturday? I mean, everybody has their own theories as to what how it could play out one way or the other. So what's yours?
I think the team that runs the ball more effectively will win the game. How's that for boiling it down?
That's what I feel. I feel the first team to make them blink in the running game and make the other guy's quarterback try to win the game.
Whoever runs the ball more effectively will win the game. So obviously it's going to, you know, if you on paper, Pitt has more experience on both offensive and defensive lines. So Penn State's fighting a little bit of an uphill battle there. But if they could find a way to stop James Conner and make Pitt throw the ball, I think Penn State has a good chance to win the game.
The Big Ten now going to 9 conference games, which benefits, I think, the bottom tier schools that, you know, you're struggling to pay guarantees, and I think they get more money for playing a conference game. What does that do to the flexibility that the upper tier teams have to play big games on the schedule, or for Penn State, for example, to schedule Pitt like Iowa does with Iowa State every year?
Yeah, I mean, you have to schedule a Power 5, at least one good Power 5 opponent, and I consider Pitt a good Power 5 opponent, obviously. And I think, you know, what it does, you know, until Penn State gets back to where it was before the mess, You know, I don't have a problem with how they've scheduled the next, whatever it is, 8 or 9 years. But after that, if you're a national champ, if you think you're a national championship contender, then I would like to see the non-conference schedule strengthened, to tell you the truth. I mean, okay, the third game will be a game, we know it's going to be against a Mid-American Conference school or somebody who's going to take a guarantee. I get that. But if I'm thinking I'm a championship contender, then I'm going to strengthen my schedule. And I, you know, there's a mixed opinion. I mean, I talked to Matt Millen yesterday, and Matt wants to see Penn State and Pitt play every year. And I get it, because he has great memories from that rivalry.
Sure.
But I don't know. I would like, you know, down the road, I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, two Power 5 opponents on the Penn State non-conference schedule.
See, I think the Auburn home and away to me was a step in the direction you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was,
and it was
one of those,
yeah,
one of those Power Five moments that you, mm-hmm, want to make your early statement as to where you are and maybe put yourself, mm-hmm, on a path to something bigger.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I like that. I mean, I wrote about it and said it on Twitter. I mean, I think that was a great move.
Yeah. Well, always a pleasure. I can't wait to see you on Saturday. I don't know, but yeah, I've never been to Heinz Field. I mean, I've been around it, but I've never been in it. So this will be fun.
This will be the first time I'm there as well. You know, I've been to PNC, and I'm hoping to be there tomorrow night as well. But I've never been to Heinz Field, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, same here. Rich, always a pleasure. Can't wait to see you on Saturday.
Thanks, Steve.
Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us here on the show today. Thanks to Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, and also our great group of high school football announcers who joined us in the previous half hour. Final half hour, it's going to be you, me, Sean, and the four walls. And we'll open it up. Your thoughts on Penn State and Pitt Saturday at Heinz Field. I've got some very thoughtful calls the other day about it. About what does the series mean to you? You know, what memories? Or there may be a case where, yeah, I could care less if they play them. I'd rather see them play insert name. Which is fine. It's all your opinion. There's no right or wrong when it comes to that. There's no right or wrong at all. If you think they should be playing somebody else instead of Pitt, you prefer that instead and have that be a rivalry game, great. If you have great memories of the Pitt game. We had several calls the other day. You know, one said, he said, well, you know what? He said, I really wasn't fan one way or the other. He says, but, you know, Thanksgiving, we'd go to the game. And you could tell it was a great family bonding trip. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. 1-800-795-9565. Some people feel, like Matt Millen, this should be played every year. Some people could care less if it's ever played.
How do you feel? 1-800-795-9565 is the number. Our thanks to Rich Scarcella, Reading Eagle, for being on the show today. Our thanks to our four high school football announcers for being on today. Pat O'Brien, he's got Sealands Grove. Mike Ferlazzo's got Shikellamy. Brett Michaels with Milton. And George Wetzel with Lewisburg, all joining us today on our Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations that will have those games for you tomorrow night, including the Tomato Bowl between Milton and Lewisburg. Sealands Grove's at Shamokin tomorrow, and Shikellamy is at Central Mountain. And don't forget Bucknell playing at Duquesne Saturday evening at 6 on Eagle 107.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Steve Jones and Sean Carey back with you. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve will be with us here in just a second. Don't forget we'll have our late afternoon news roundup after 5 with Jennifer Wakeman. Then Steve will be chatting with head coach James Franklin on the Coach's Show. That'll be tonight, 6:05 here on WKOK with the most comprehensive Penn State football coverage as we count down to Penn State and Pitt on the field for the first time since 2000. That'll be here on WKOK Saturday, 10:30 for the pregame and noon kick from Heinz Field with Steve, Jack, Roger, and Derek Williams.
Looking forward to it.
We certainly are, sir. Derek with Derek with a great debut performance from the sidelines last week.
Yeah, we'll get Derek on the show here in a couple weeks. Just wanted to get feet underneath him and get rolling here, and then we'll get him on the show. I think he brings a really fun perspective to the sideline. And Jack and I really appreciate working with him. So it'll be a lot of fun having him on board. A lot of fun. So, and we'll get him on the show here in a couple weeks, maybe before the Michigan game. How about that? We'll get him on before the Michigan game. I think it'll be fun to do that and get him on board because, Peter, I'll tell you, fans love him. Fans love him. Yeah, it's funny in the pregame. We're doing the pregame show. Yeah, Jack's answering this football question. Derek's answering that football question. I'm just kind of just sitting there taking it all in. Finally, I think it was Roger looked over and said, "What are your thoughts?" I said, "Man, I'm in downtime."
That's kind of like how I was last Friday when it was you and your brother going back and forth.
You're kind of like a downtime. Like, okay, how do you step into this? I'm not going to step into that. Oh, for goodness sakes. I mean, by the time we get around to the game, I'll do plenty of talking.
That's kind of like how I was last Friday. I'm going to be here till about 10, 11 covering high school football, so I'm just going to kick back for a few seconds.
I know. And that scoreboard, by the way, on Eagle 107 is really, really good.
Oh, very kind.
It's really good. You guys do a great job with that. I enjoy that. You know, you're on the app, you're able to tune in, listen to it. It's really good. Really cool. So, all right, hey, 1-800-795-9565. I talked about, should Penn State Pitt play every year? What are your thoughts on the game? What are your memories of the game? Anything surrounding it? This is obviously different because second game of the season, you get a rivalry game like this. A lot of you have memories of it. What's interesting, though, if you're young, you don't. If you are the age of the players, you have no memories of it. Zero. As Chris Godwin said, he said, "I was 4 years old the last time they played." All right, let's get to Tony and Shamokin. I can't imagine, Tony, you've witnessed a few of these.
Oh, more than I want to remember. I remember the first few were in black and white. But personally, I really don't care if they ever play again. I don't see no upside for Penn State. This is like a Super Bowl for Pitt. Pitt wins this game, I can just imagine certain media outlets, they'll be in their glory, even though they'll be tender for Penn State. You know who I mean, which I won't mention.
Uh-huh.
But, I mean, I just don't see an upside for Penn State. It used to be a great game when they played on Thanksgiving. We'll never have that again. Schmoltman used to play Mount Carmel on Thanksgiving. We'll never have that again either. You know, times have changed. I'd rather see us.
You know what? I'm sorry, Tony.
I said I'd rather see us play, you know, throwing an SEC team, Southeastern Conference team, you know, Florida State, Clemson. We don't need Pitt. Mm-hmm. My opinion.
You know, Tony, I think you bring up several interesting points. One of them I think that's interesting is the placement of the game. If this were a non-conference game at the end of the season, Thanksgiving weekend, might it have a little more bump to you than it does as the second game of the season?
Sure, I think so it would, yeah. That was the traditional time it was played, you know? But it's not going to happen no more.
No, it will. You're absolutely right. It will not happen anymore.
I mean, there was some about a Penn State Pitt game, maybe a little snow flurries here and there, you know, a cold day, right. You know, and some other than deer.
Right. Yeah. Well, when Pitt made the conscious decision, and it was their decision not to join the All Sports Conference, that started it down this road as to where it is now. So
that's what I was going to say next. It had their chance. They could have played us every year. There was a commentator on the big Penn Network the other night, and he made the comment, Joe Paterno didn't like this game anyway. I'm thinking, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know why this game is not being played on a yearly basis. I was going to send an email, but I thought, if you don't know, you know, you got to, you know, what's the point?
Oh, Tony, if we disagree with everyone's opinions, we'd be sending out emails all day and then not listening to the shows.
There you go. Hey, listen, you guys have a great game, and I think it's going to be a good weekend for Penn State.
Thanks, Tony. It's always a pleasure. Thank you.
Yep, bye.
1-800-795-9565. Do you agree with some of Tony's sentiments there? Is there something you want to piggyback off of that? Your own memory of it, the fact that it's the second game, not the last game, does that take away from it? Should Penn State be playing them every year, yes or no? What are your thoughts? Memories of the game? You may have some great memories of it. Are you happy it's back? Or are you just like, so what, it's back? How do you look at it? How do you feel about the approach of the two coaches? Pat Narduzzi locking things down. He's the only voice. James Franklin keeping things as normal gets. 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. I mean, there may be some of you who think that James Franklin keeping things as normal gets, you may think that's bad because maybe you think he's not explaining the rivalry enough to them. You might think that. I don't know. I think it's perfectly fine. Again, this stuff about running out and flying out there. Well, you fly out there, and guess what? First time you get smacked in the mouth, it doesn't really matter. You get smacked. You get up and get going. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. What's interesting about the Joe Paterno piece with the 1981 was I was there when it happened. I was the one that actually did all the interviews with it. Mike, and where's Mike from? I'm sorry, Sean.
Dalmatia.
Oh, Dalmatia. Hi, Mike. How are you? Thanks for joining us today. Appreciate it.
I'm good. I like the idea of Pitt coming back on, but there's a lot of other teams I'd like to see rotated on, too. West Virginia, Notre Dame, maybe Syracuse again, maybe a team from Florida. So I'd like to keep rotating teams that we played, you know, once upon a time, not just stick with Pitt and Temple all the time, you know?
Okay, I understand that. Sure, if you like, you like variety, and you also like a slice of the old days, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I remember those Notre Dame games in the late 80s, early 90s when I was a kid. And, you know, honestly, I was more interested and felt there was more intensity with them games than the Pitt games. And I really haven't missed the Pitt game. But, you know, I'd sure like to see Virginia Tech, West Virginia, and these other teams come on someday too now.
You'll see Virginia Tech in 20 and in 23. You'll see Auburn in 21 and 22. You will see West Virginia in 24 and 25.
Yeah, and I'd like to see, you know, maybe Boston College and, you know, these other teams we used to play back on and keep doing it like that, you know.
Great, Mike. All right. I appreciate it. Very, very good. I understand. You want to see a variety, but you also like that slice of the old days too. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, let's go to Ken in Milton at 1-800-795-9565. Ken, welcome back. Great to hear you.
Hey, good afternoon, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
Oh, not bad, not bad. Driving home, I want to throw my 2 cents in on the Pitt-Penn State game. I'm 46 years old. The very first college football game that I ever sat and watched from beginning to end on TV was actually the Pitt-Penn State game. Can't quite place the year. Pitt jumped out to a 14-0 lead, tied 14-14 and a half, and I believe State won 48-14. I know you would know the year.
1981.
Okay. And I did have the opportunity to go out to Pitt in the early 90s and see the Thanksgiving morning game where we played out there, one of the last ones. Had a really good time, enjoyed it. But I have to tell you, I have absolutely, other than the fact I thought it was neat when I saw that they were scheduled again, I have no desire as a fan to see us play Pitt every year. The fact that it's the beginning of the year is completely inconsequential as opposed to the end. We're a conference team now. I like our conference opponents. I really don't feel, at least in my circle of friends that are Penn State fans, that the rivalry with Pittsburgh has any merit or bears any weight at all anymore. I don't want to sound arrogant and boastful in the sense that we are so... Penn State's become so much more accelerated than Pitt football-wise. But let's face it, we're coming off of pretty heavy sanctions, pretty stiff sanctions, and with a very young team, and it's going to be a very competitive game. And I just don't know that it would be that competitive of a series anymore. That's simply my opinion. I so much more look forward to playing Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State. And I got to be honest, I look forward to playing Auburn and Virginia Tech much more than I would to playing Pitt every year. It's just my personal opinion, but I'm definitely a conference fan now.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because I think what has happened after being in the Big Ten now, and this will be Penn State's, 24th season in the Big Ten, I think there's been a lot of transition to got to beat Ohio State, got to beat Michigan, got to beat Michigan State. Now Maryland's in there too. And I think that's taken over. And I also think there are a lot of people, because they haven't played Virginia Tech, like the idea of saying somebody you haven't played before. They haven't played Auburn, so it's great to see them come on. I think that's the sentiment I've been getting from a lot of people.
I think that's both of those particular opponents are really – good schedules, really fun because we haven't played them before or recently in the regular season, I should say. I don't get it anymore. And got it, you know, 25 years in the conference, so these kids that are graduating from college now other than the brief series in 2000 and then the beginning of the year, haven't seen the rivalry. It's been completely non-existent to them. So, therefore, it hasn't been able to develop, and it's not passed on. And I think that's kind of where it's at. But regardless, I'll enjoy Saturday's game and the chance to play them. But just my chime in, it really doesn't mean that much to me, and I don't think to a lot of other folks anymore. I'll let you go on that and have a good day.
Ken, you have a great day. Thanks for chiming in. We appreciate your comments very much. As usual, we have some great callers, some great insight. Enjoyed very much. I mean, a variety of opinion, but fun. 1-800-795-9565. We can slip in a couple of more callers. We'll come back, take those calls in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. And I was hoping Dick from Milton would call, and I'm glad he did. Hi, Dick.
Yeah, I had a nice talk with your screener there. You there?
He's terrific, isn't he? Sean does a great job.
Yeah, we had a nice conversation. I wanted to tell you, this is a different angle, I told him, because everybody's not young. And to me, Pitt and Penn State was Penn State football for a while, and Penn State Syracuse. This is from an old perspective. And I told him, you're talking light years away when you're talking Auburn to a guy my age, you know. You know,
right.
Every day's a crapshoot when you get
exactly.
older. Not that it is. So for me, Penn State and Pitt, I'm glad to see it at least one more year, maybe two more years or whatever, and I can live with that. Plus, you can't play everybody in the Big Ten. Obviously, we don't play everybody now. So consequently, you've got to have all the conference games, and as many good teams as we can get, I'm happy with that. As many old memories as, because a lot of it's just memories to me anymore. I guess go there.
Yeah.
You know, the West Virginia.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Yeah. It's the same thing with me, Dick. Same way. I remember all the great games, too, but at times, because somebody had been off for such a long time, I kind of transition mentally to other things.
I think people don't tend to forget that it's kind of like basketball. There was a time there weren't that many powerhouse football teams.
So consequently,
those teams that we were playing were big games. You know?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. See, since the 85 scholarship rule came in, it changed everything.
Right. There's a lot better football teams out there now that never even were. They were just not good football teams. That's just the way it was. You know, just keep go back to that. That's the same way in college basketball. There was a lot of times that the Big Five, Philadelphia, was big time basketball. You know?
Oh, no question. You're absolutely right. I mean, hey, we used to be, look, it was Kentucky was always great. UCLA was always great. Indiana was always great. But after that, there was a real slide. Same thing in college football. It really was confined to maybe 8-10 teams, you think, Dick? Texas, USC, Penn State, Ohio State. Now you have TCU's good. Baylor's good. You have a lot of people who are good.
I mean, one of the teams you failed was Oklahoma and Bud Wilkinson. I mean, you feared a team
yes,
like that.
Yes. 47 wins in a row. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying is now, you know, that you got teams coming out of that area, Texas Tech and Texas Christian, that were like also rans in a sense back then. Not Texas A&M was
sure,
pretty good.
I remember TCU coming in here in 1978 and Penn State beat them 58-0.
I'll tell you what you could do sometime. Look how many teams are on the 300 and some Division I, 305 basketball teams, and how many football teams there are. And then think back to 35 years ago and tell me how many there were.
Right.
When they do
That's
the
true.
When
That's
they
a
do
good point.
All
right. Right. Yeah, there's 353 now. And
right.
your
okay.
question's a really good one that I'll have to research. I'll have to research what it was 35 years ago.
There was no need for Sagarin to rate anybody. I guess is my point. it would be a quick ranking. I guess I'll leave it to go with that. Anyhow, nice talking to you. Good luck this Saturday. Guys,
hey, thanks, Dick. Appreciate it. There was no need for Sagarin to rank anybody. There wasn't anybody around to rank. It's kind of like the Truman Show. When he looks at the young Truman and says, I want to be an explorer. And the teacher pulls down the map and says, I'm sorry, everything's been discovered. Boom. Doesn't take long. Hey, great calls today. Appreciate it. Great callers.
Yeah, thanks to Randy from Mount Carmel that called up earlier this week and sent us a very nice email in return, too. We appreciate that.
Yeah.
Steve Jones at WKOK.com. Drop us a line anytime.
Randy's note was really nice. Thank you, Randy. That was awfully nice. I'm really thrilled you called the show, too. Gave us your perspective, because I find your perspective to be extremely interesting and unique. All right. Tomorrow, speaking of unique, I only have one brother. That's it. He went 7-2 last week. You and I went 5-4.
Yeah.
Okay.
Texas.
So
Notre,
we
yeah,
have
Texas,
to start
Texas
making.
Notre game. Texas Notre game was the that was the swing game that got him.
Crushed us.
Yeah.
I'd have still picked it the same way.
Me too. Yep.
My advice to Kelly was I would have stuck with the one quarterback early, not messed around. But now you and I have to make up some ground in this race. I'm going to have to come up with a clever plan. Follow my lead. So we'll have him on the show tomorrow. We'll pick some games, including, you know, I didn't put any NFL games on there. I noticed that. I should have. We'll do that starting next week. We'll keep it college for now.
Okay.
Coach's show following the Jennifer Wakeman News Hour.
We are your home for the Philadelphia Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.